What's up, y'all? Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. This is another episode of the Government Coins Podcast. And I just got to say it, season four, episode five. This is something that we haven't talked about before. And I know people are going to be so excited to see this interview. We talk all the time about government contracts, and we go ahead on government contracts today because that's the goal. But another part of government coins or government money, government funding is also government grants. We don't hit that a lot. So I'm so happy to have Dr. Lauren Josephs here to talk about her experience in this government contracting space, both on the grant side and on the government contracting side. So hi, Dr. Lauren. How are you?
I'm just excited to be here. I've watched you for a while, listened to your podcast, and just think it's such an informative space for people to come and get information. So I'm happy to be here.
Oh, now that's exciting, because that means we definitely about to get the tea. She knows exactly how this podcast goes down. So definitely. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, just so we can kind of let everyone get acquainted with you and the work that you do?
Yeah, absolutely. I started my career as a licensed psychotherapist, and I was doing home visits, going to people's homes, particularly youth who were on probation, youth involved in the juvenile justice system and their families. And I just started to notice that there were some patterns that I saw happening with these families. And I returned to school to study some more to become a researcher and behavioral scientist. And that's what I do today. I wanted to have an opportunity to address some of the poor outcomes that I saw in populations that looked like me. And so that's what I do today. I'm a researcher and behavioral scientist.
Wow. So initially when you started this, did you start out doing research?
When I started my career, I started out doing therapy. Once I started my consulting firm, which was in 2008, I started off doing research. And I also had some programs that I implemented to impact the outcomes, the negative outcomes that I was seeing. So yeah, it's been since 2008 that I've started the business.
Got it. Okay. So can you tell us a little bit about the business? That was the other part. I kind of got right into the consulting side with that.
Yes. So the organization is Visionary Vanguard Group, and we do research, evaluation, training, and technical assistance. Our work focuses on addressing poor outcomes for businesses and for communities. So we partner with a lot of organizations to look at the processes that they have in place and the programs that they have in place to recommend system improvements for improved outcomes in those that they serve. So I work with a lot of minority serving organizations, as well as consult with governmental entities.
Got it. So I just dropped that in there in the chat, the Visionary Vanguard Group. So you can actually go ahead and take a look at their website and see some of the stuff that they're actually doing, because it could be an area of focus that you already provide, and you could possibly connect with the team to collaborate on some opportunities, whatever the case may be. So definitely check out their website. Another question is that I read online that you got $349,000 in grant funding during your first year in business. So can you share with us a little bit more about how that experience rolled?
It was a shock to me as well. You know, if I listened to people, it would not have happened, because what I heard a lot then, as I do now, is that nobody gets grants, nobody gets contracts, and certainly nobody who looks like me. And so the process, even though I got it in the first year in business, I was strategic, because I knew I wanted to leave my corporate role. I was a health disparities researcher at a major hospital system at the time. And I knew that I wanted to branch out on my own. So before I even started my company, I started investigating what were the opportunities for me to get income, because I didn't have a bag of cash just sitting there waiting to pay my bills. The bills were still going to be there. So I started looking for funding opportunities. How do small businesses get funding? And learned a little bit more about grants and contracts. And I knew that one of the things that I wanted to do immediately was to design a program for girls who were involved in the juvenile justice system because of the work that I had previously done. And so before I even left corporate America, I started looking for what type of funding was available for those types of services. And I found an opportunity which had already closed. But what I did was I did some research and I looked back and realized that this was funding that had been you know, popped up year after year for like 2 or 3 years before that. So I put it on my calendar to start checking, you know, at that during that same time the following year. And, you know, that this was before SAM.gov. This was back when they had FedBizOps, which you have to be real old school to remember that. But you know, as luck would have it, the opportunity that I had identified came back up again. For you know, an RFP was put out, and I applied, having prepared during that year, you know, thinking through how would this be structured, learning about the processes that I would have to undertake. So it happened in the first year, but it was because of a strategy that I put in place from before I even started my business, because I didn't have the option to not pay my bills. I just knew that homelessness wasn't for me.
I definitely have to second that one, because looking out for these opportunities. So I love the fact that you mentioned you identified your services first. That was the first thing you did. You identified what you wanted to do, and then you went out and got looked for the opportunities that correlate with what you wanted to do. Now, because I feel like I had to rehint that, because there's so many people who are thinking, oh, well, just tell me what they want and I'll provide it to them.
Like, oh my God. You know, no, because what I like to tell people, if you're not operating in your core area of competence, you might as well give it up, because this is not, I know there's a lot of stuff on social media and it sounds like, you know, you wave a magic wand, you get some dollars, you subcontract it to somebody and you keep the rest. Be careful when people present it as that easy, because going into an agreement with the federal government, local government, state government, any governmental entity, any entity for that matter, you're liable. There's expectations that you have to follow, and there's consequences if you don't. So yeah, absolutely. I did the market research because I wanted to know for sure if my services were needed and by whom.
Love that one. Now, prior to applying for this grant, did you have experience writing grants before?
I had been privy to the grant writing process through the role that I was in. And so because the research that I was doing at this hospital system involved community-based organizations, and there were a lot of partnerships with nonprofit entities and so on, I was familiar with the process. I had done background research on developing the problem statement, the statement of needs, and developing methodology. So I had not developed one on my own and submitted it, but I had assisted in the development. So I think that was very helpful to me.
And as far as that aspect goes, I kind of wanted to like hop into that grant side of it first. But how did you find the opportunity? And no, you said it was on FedBizOps. So you found that opportunity on FedBizOps. After that, were you looking for those opportunities, those same opportunities in different areas?
Yes. You know, I looked not only at the federal level. I think sometimes people miss that there are lots of opportunities. I know you stress that here a lot. There's more than one level of government. So there's federal, there's state, there's local. You know, you have your county, you have your city, there's all the municipalities have opportunities as well. And so I made it a point of my duty to search all the available portals. I signed up at the state level in the vendor biz systems. I did it at the county level, and because I knew that to get opportunities, I had to put time into that research to find those opportunities. And at that time, you know, I'm Jamaican, if you hear an accent, and we like to say at that time I was head cook and bottle washer. You know, I had every task. I was the janitor, the CEO, the, you know, whatever it was that I was doing it. But I knew that to be in business and go out of business, first of all, there's a whole lot of pride here, and people who were telling me, you sure you want to leave your good job and go do that? So I needed to not fail. And so I put the effort into making it happen.
Now, this is another thing. When we get into like the grant process, we normally consider grants always go to nonprofits, and they always go to educational institutions or other state and local government agencies. As a business or a new entity getting into the space, and as a for-profit entity, what have you seen entering into grants?
I've seen that many people think mistakenly that there are not grant opportunities, and so they're not looking for them. Where there are grant opportunities, they appear when you are doing mission-focused work. So when your work connects with improving outcomes and contributing to the greater good of society, there are lots of grant opportunities for businesses, just as there are for nonprofit entities and educational organizations. So people tend to miss out on that, but there's a lot of funding. There's grants, and there's also cooperative agreements, which are similar to grants, except that there's a lot more involvement by the funder. So they're actually walking alongside you in the implementation of your program or delivery of your processes.
Got it. And thank you for that explanation, the difference between the two. So here's another question. What advice would you have for a for-profit business who is looking to go after government grants?
Yeah, I would say that ensure that you are clear on what it is that you want to offer, and focus on your core areas of competence. One of the things that I know for sure, having done this for 15 years, is that when you do work that you are fully qualified for, the process becomes easier because you're doing different variations of the same work. So when you're developing a packet, you're not having to scramble to think through what is this about, or Google something. It's because you already know it. So I would say the first thing is to know what it is that your skill set is, and identify opportunities that are in alignment with the work that you do well and that you also love to do. Because when it gets to be nighttime and you have things that are still yet to be done, if you're just doing something for the money,
it ain't gonna work.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Oh yeah, it definitely runs out after that. The other thing I would say is, as far as writing the grants, can you break down like what goes into a grant application? Yes. Like some of the most common components of a grant application.
Absolutely. So with the vast majority of grant applications, you'll have to write what is called a statement of need. And I've seen social media grant, quote unquote, experts saying the statement of need is you know, why you need the money. No, that's not a statement of need. The statement of need supports it lays out the reasons why a program is necessary. So for instance, if when I was doing the program with girls, there were high rates of involvement in juvenile delinquency, there were high rates of unprotected sex and things of that nature. So you have to give the body of knowledge, the research around what is happening in your particular community. So you're telling them, this is why my work is necessary. So the statement of need is important. You'll have to speak about your intervention. Okay, so this is the problem. What are you going to do about it? And why is this the best possible course of action? So it's not just your thoughts about it. Everything has to be grounded and supported by the body of knowledge that exists, research. So you will have to find articles that are published that supports what it is that you want to do. So you have your problem statement, which is also called the need statement. You have your intervention, which is what you want to do. You have how you're going to measure it, which it falls into the evaluation plan, because they want to know, how will you know if your program is successful? How will you know if what you did had an impact? And so you have to speak to that in the application. You'll also have to talk about your organizational capabilities. What makes you and your team capable of fulfilling these obligations? And the budget. The budget has to be tied to everything in the budget has to be reflected in what you've already written in the need statement, the intervention, the evaluation plan, and so on. So that's typically what a grant application looks like from the federal, state, or local government side. From the foundation side, you know, I've also gotten contracts from foundations as well as grants. And from private foundations, it looks a little bit different in that it's a more simplified process. Similar to what I just described, it's just not as it's a simpler application process.
So that brings us into another topic. And one, you really broke down those different components for us. So thank you so much for that. The other topic is you mentioned that you've gotten grants for government and for foundations. Where can businesses receive grants?
Yeah. Well, and think about all the Fortune 500 companies in your area. You know, think about the large insurance companies in your area. Look at, you know, Google private foundations and your state, and you'll see those, because many of them have an obligation based on their organizational structure to provide funding to the community, right? And so there are a lot of dollars there. Even hospital systems have community benefits departments that have funding opportunities. You can look at, I've had, right now I'm you know, I have a contract with a private university system. So I would encourage small business owners to broaden their view of what a funding entity is. Certainly there are a lot of coins in the government space. However, there are other entities that have a lot of money too. So look for private foundations and corporations, and they typically have opportunities there.
So one quick thing, well, 2 points before we move on to our next topic and get into government contracting side of it. The first one is you just spoke again about cooperative agreements. Mm-hmm. And you gave us an example of what it is earlier. Are those advertised the same way that grant opportunities are advertised? And then also, is there a difference in the process of getting a cooperative agreement?
No, the process is very similar to the grant process. From the federal side, you'll have to be registered in SAM.gov to be able to apply through grants.gov, right? And so the cooperative agreements are generally listed on grants.gov. Sometimes they're actually listed in SAM.gov as well. And they look like any notice of funding opportunity, except it doesn't say contract and it doesn't say grant, it says cooperative agreement. And so there are lots of entities in the federal space who like to use that funding mechanism because they have ideas about what, how they want whatever it is, that service, they have thoughts about how it should be implemented. And sometimes they have evaluators on the national side that works with the local team to gather data so that they can report back to Congress. So it's if you're searching in SAM.gov, talking about the federal, for federal opportunities, grants.gov and SAM.gov are where you typically would find them, or also on the respective agencies. So, you know, it might be on the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, SAMHSA, or CDC, or, you know, Department of Health and Human Services. So it might be on those, but, you know, everything over 25,000 has to also be reflected in SAM.gov on the contract side, and then grants.gov for the cooperative agreements and grant opportunities.
Got it. Okay. Thank you for that. And that was going to also be my second question. So finding these opportunities. So you've already told us in the federal side, grants.gov and SAM.gov. What about some of the other entities that you mentioned, like the private foundations and your private university systems and hospital systems?
Yeah. So every large entity, every single one of them has a vendor space on their website, or procurement. It might say procurement, it might say vendor opportunities, same thing. So you would register ideally before you are looking for opportunities, like right now to apply. You want to sign up for all of these emails. You know, you can search by the type of opportunities that you're interested in and sign up for them on the state level, the local county level, the different city municipalities, the different colleges and university systems have vendor and procurement departments. Anywhere that is a huge entity works with consultants, contractors, they offer grants. And so just anytime you think of a big business, a big employer in your community, think also what opportunities may exist for you in working collaboratively with those entities.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So let's switch gears and go into our next phase. So thank you for the information on grants, but does your company also go after government contracts?
Absolutely. It's for me, the only distinguishing characteristic is what they want to call it. I don't care what it's called. If it's something that I can do and it has money attached to it that can enrich me, my business, and I can contribute to a positive outcome in society, then I'm going to go after it. And frankly, what I've found is that some of the processes are the same, particularly when you're providing a service. I'm not selling toilet paper, right? You can also sell toilet paper to the government, but I'm in the in a service-based industry. So a lot of the contracts are not just the price quotes that you will come across for, you know, product-based type of services. These are notice of funding opportunities, RFP, you know, funding opportunity announcement. They call them all these types of things, but they're actually structured very similarly on the grant side and on the contract side when it comes to delivering a service. And so there's information on the what they're looking for. There's information on the scope of work, and there's a request for information on all those different layers that I mentioned before on the grant side, such as the needs, the you know, how are you going to approach the work, your capabilities, all of those things. And the budget is where sometimes people get stuck. They don't know how to price, and so that takes a little bit of work. But there are spaces on the federal side that you can check to see how much they pay for certain types of services that are similar to yours and use that to inform your budget. So it's very similar for service-based industries is what I have found as a consultant, that the process for application are very similar on both the contracts, cooperative agreement, and grant side.
Okay. So we do have one question. Someone said, how important are certifications in your space?
I'm glad you asked, because I have no certifications. Would you believe after 15 years, I have no certifications. Now I would tell people, particularly as, you know, if you have to pay attention, you should be paying attention to what's going on in Washington, D.C. if you are interested in this work. You can't just be on the sidelines and hoping to dabble. You have to go all in. There are a lot of there's a lot going on that's making it a wonderful opportunity for people of color to step into this space, because they are focused on equity. And there's a lot of dollars that's going to be coming down over the next couple of years while the Biden-Harris administration is still in. So they have simplified the process of becoming certified in many ways. So I would encourage people who are hoping to step into the space now to get the certifications that they have. Now I have a lot of past experience, past performance, as they call it. And so it's not as important for me. What I had hoped to get at the beginning was an 8A certification. However, at that time, you know, I also had another business. Listen, I wasn't gonna be homeless, so I'm gonna do this, but I'm also gonna do that. And so at that time, that prevented me from getting that certification, because I would have had to give up my product base. You know, I'm Jamaican. I'm gonna work. So I would encourage people to get the certifications that they are qualified for. You do not have, it's not a requirement. There are no requirements attached to any of these funding opportunities that I've gone after in the past 15 years, with the exception that some of them are small businesses. So it's just as a small business, as you identify in your SAM registration, you'll self-assert that you're a small business. Because you meet, this income threshold and this number of employees. And so you're good without certifications. But if I would encourage you now to go after, don't be like me. I have none, zero.
Yeah, but you got that past experience to back it up. So usually,
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You're getting the certification so you can get the past experience.
Exactly.
So there we go.
Exactly.
The work that your company does for contracts is the same work that you do for grants, mm-hmm. or is there a difference in the services? Okay.
No, they're very similar. The scope of work might be larger in some opportunities than others, but I'm research, evaluation, training, and technical assistance. That's my core area of competence, specifically focused on addressing disparities, meaning differences in outcomes for racial and ethnic minorities. So that's all I do. And I would encourage your audience to also develop an expertise. It's better to know deep and broad what you do, rather than just know superficially and then do 56 different things. Because if you don't develop expertise, you don't have an opportunity to be known for the work. Because another thing that we often don't talk about are those opportunities where people just call you and say, okay, I got this over here. How does that happen? Because of your reputation, because of the way you do your work, and because of the expertise that you have developed by focusing on, one thing or the other.
That is definitely true. I will attest to that. Definitely get calls just because now. So it takes time to build that up, but once you get into this space and you stay consistent, That's a big deal. So another thing is that in addition to your business, you also provide consulting support to small businesses as well. And you know, we got people in the comment section saying such a wealth of knowledge. Thank you so much for the information. I love all this information. So before we get to like our last question, you also provide consulting services to businesses as well. Or can you tell us about that, how that process works?
Yeah, you know, really quickly, I have been a mentor for all these years, and I have been mentored by many, by a few key Black women who just saw fit to pour into me. And so I've always done that. However, about 2 years ago, I saw this article in Forbes that said Black women owned businesses need funding, not mentoring. And it really struck me because I knew what they were talking about. You can guide and guide and guide and guide, but if you still don't have money, then you're going to go out of business. You know, I'm a rare entity that's in business for 15 years because 70% of businesses go out of close within the first 10 years. And so what I offer, I thought about what I could do to help people who look like me, Black women, to learn about and become competitive in the grants and contracts arena. And so I developed an incubator, the Grants and Contracts Incubator. It's a 10-week program that I not only teach, but the participants are expected to identify an opportunity, a funding opportunity, whether current or closed, and that is going to be the example that they're going to use to apply all the knowledge that's being learned. So by the end of the process, they will have completed a proposal for funding. In this cohort, people have already submitted funding opportunities. We're at our 10th week tonight. Well, you know, I gave them an extra week, so it's 11. But that's my focus, is to help. And I can only do it on a small scale because I'm a real consultant. You know, not just I don't play one on Instagram. And so I do my work day to day, but I've carved out some space to be able to support and hold 14 women's hands each cohort through the process of learning about how to get government and other funding.
So you also have another one coming up soon?
Yeah, it starts on May 11th. That will be the last one I do for this year. I'm not sure about next year because of, you know, I'm still getting grants and contracts. So, you know, I have a lot of responsibilities on my own end, but yeah, I'm just really excited about what this cohort has been able to accomplish and looking forward to the next one that begins on May 11th.
Got it. Okay. So can you tell us where we can find more information about this and about you to connect with you?
Yes. You know, I'm not I'm on Instagram. You'll see that I'm not an influencer. I'm a researcher and behavioral scientist on Instagram at Dr. Lauren Josephs. DrLaurenJosephs, and at vvgroup.net, vvgroup.net is my organization. But you can reach me through, you can reach the website through Instagram, and you can connect with me through there. And you can also, if you go to the website and you use the contact us feature, you can just send an email. If you have questions, it'll get to me. And periodically, I do free question and answer sessions for individuals who are interested in learning about getting grants and contracts. And you will actually leave with tangible steps to start your process, whether or not you join the incubator or not.
Okay, so I've already dropped the links. I'm still dropping them as we speak, but links to all of the different programs, your website, so that way people can definitely reach out and connect and just follow you to stay abreast on what's going on, what things you have available, when you're hosting these informational sessions. Also, we'll have to get another episode in to talk more about
We're grants. Done already.
Look, somebody said thank you. I just hit follow on IG. someone said it's the best government program I've attended. It's factual, structure, and you get results. Thanks from Dr. Angela.
Oh, hi Angela.
Yeah. Dr. Angela. So yeah, definitely super excited about this. I feel how do you feel, Dr. Lauren?
I feel good. I love this. I love the fact that I love your whole approach, because the way that I feel is that when we connect with each other and when we support each other, we have the best opportunities for success. So I just really honor you and the space that you have created, because there's so much competition. And I tell people there's $500 million each year. You're just looking for $250 to a million for yourself. What is the competition? Right. So I've seen your work, and I just really appreciate your excellence, the information that you are imparting to your audience. And thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to appear here in front of you.
No, absolutely. I think it's important for people to, and that was really one of the big components of it. I think it's important for people to be able to see us in this space thriving, but also to see us in these government positions. So that way they know there's opportunity. You can do this. People are excelling. You are excelling at this. Like, let's follow in your footsteps. So definitely thank you so much. If we missed some comments or some questions or anything, we didn't, but this was a great episode. People felt like they got a lot of value from it. And that's always been the focus, being able to provide value and put people in front of them who know, like, they know what they're doing. They talk the talk, they walk the walk. So Amen. Definitely can appreciate that. Thank you so much, Dr. Lauren. We will see you soon. Everyone, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe to our channel. If you like this episode, we will definitely have a lot more information coming out. Maybe we even do something with Dr. Lauren just to focus primarily on some grants, because like I said, we rarely ever talk about that on here. But that's it. We'll see you all in the next episode. Until then, have a great week. And stay productive.
Bye.